welcome to this first kind of episode of the Everything in Between podcast. My name is Christian, and I'm here with my co-host Shay, who we kind of opted out of the idea of like doing a trailer for this and more of like an interview kind of thing. We just kind of felt like it'd be better for you guys to get to know us, so that's kind of what we wanted. So we're just going to take an opportunity to, for right now, to get to know Shay for a little bit, and I'm just going to kind of ask him some simple questions just to kind of give you an insight into who we are, why we're doing this, why we started this venture in the first place, and what it's all about. So we'll just kind of start there. Shay, if you just want to like tell me a little bit of like, well, not tell me, I already know plenty, but like tell everybody listening a little bit about yourself, the background, kind of how you ended up here in this venture with me.
I grew up in Northern Michigan and found my way down to Grand Rapids, where I eventually met my wife. And that brought me down to the Chicagoland area. Through that, I think Christian found his way up to our area. We became pretty good friends. I mean, this is smashing in a whole bunch of years into a very short, brief synopsis, but between the two of us just worshiping together on the worship team at the church that we both attended, that Christian was also the worship leader at for a minute, I think he and I got pretty close, and then we got to a point where it was just, we wanted to keep something rolling, he and I, after he moved on from the church that we were both at. And we started a Bible study that kind of turned into a, hey, these conversations aren't too terrible. And we'd like to maybe venture on and see what doesn't happen with maybe throwing some recordings in, asking some bigger questions, and digging in a little bit deeper into all the different things that we run into on a day-to-day basis as young fathers. I mean, I guess that's the other thing I could add in, is I'm a, we'll call it, relatively brand new father, 4-month-old daughter, figuring out all those joys.
That's pretty new. So, I mean, compared to most, so
it's still figuring out all the intricacies of that. And I'm sure as a father of a slightly older child, you could agree that there's no shortage of new things to figure out, new and exciting things to roll on through each and every day of being a father. But it's been fun.
yeah, so like Shay said, yeah, he's fairly new to this whole dad thing, and him and I kind of just jumped into this whole venture, and we'll say it this way, I think, and this isn't about me, but I as far as like our friendship is concerned, I feel like I liked you a little more than the rest. Maybe that's what I'm, no, I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. Shay's just average.
We just clicked a little bit better.
Yeah, Shay's just average. So it is. but no, I'm totally kidding. No, Shay and I have been good friends for goodness. It's like, I mean, I feel like we hit it off pretty quick, but we've been, I feel like, you know, yeah. What are we coming up? This will be almost 3 years since we've known each other.
Is that it?
Yeah. I know. It feels like it's been a whole lot longer, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah, because you were post-COVID times.
Yeah, yep.
When did you start at PCC?
2020.
Not that this is your
interview, no, you're good. 2022? No.
Gosh.
Well, no. Wait, 2020. Yeah, 2022.
Was it 22?
Yeah, that's crazy. So yeah, 3 years. It would be
that's
3 years this month. Yeah. Yeah.
No kidding. So, holy cow. Okay.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Anything after post, like
it feels like
post COVID life just blurs together.
Exactly.
So it's like, it feels like a million years, but at the same time, it's like, no, that was only 3 years ago. And you just go, holy crap.
Yeah. No, it's true. Well, you mentioned worship as like one of those big things, and obviously, like you and I have discussed, like this is kind of like a culmination of like our friendship as well as like our faith and just a lot of other things that we want to talk about. So, like, talk me through that a little bit. So, like, what's like one pivotal moment you feel like in your life that, like, do you have maybe like your faith story to some extent, like a shortened version of your faith story? Like, what do you feel like, or just one pivotal moment that maybe caught you to the place where you're like, yeah, this is. I feel like I could enjoy something like a podcast, or I feel like I can enjoy leading worship or whatever. Like, what's one big pivotal moment that you feel like kind of shaped who you were just as a person in general in your life?
trying to like think through like all the different points in my life that I guess feel a little bit more pivotal, without going into all of the details and like opening that giant can of worms. I haven't had an easy upbringing, we'll say. It wasn't bad by any means, but my family experienced a lot of trouble. I mean, a lot of trials from a lot of different things that we won't go into. Just because we'll spend a lot of time talking about those. So,
we'll have an opportunity in the podcast to talk more about that stuff, too.
Yeah. We'll find the appropriate time to bring up some of those past wounds. But there's a lot of things that like I can think back on that were pivotal in life. But like the few things, like, and I've always been kind of like a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants kind of guy. Like, I very much just kind of go with the flow. I'm not one to stand out in front of a lot of people, which is funny because I'm part of a worship team and standing up in front of a lot of people on a regular basis and leading songs, which is very much stepping outside of my comfort zone, which even that could be a pretty good pivotal moment of like, not so much my finding of faith, but like stepping deeper into those waters and expanding my faith, and taking that risk and stepping way outside of my comfort zone. Like, the idea of me singing in front of somebody or a lot of people was not always on my radar. Especially cause there was other events that like kind of like pushed me away from it. Like at a different church I attended, I asked if I could try out for the, or like hang out with the worship team. I'm like, hey, I can kind of sing. I'd love to give it a shot. And they're like, oh yeah, totally. We'll get a hold of you. And they never did. And I'm like, well, maybe that's just a sign that I shouldn't, but really it was just timing. But then, like, with PCC, it was a one of the first night of worships that we had done, and the now interim worship leader at our church was standing right next to me, and she just looks at me, she's like, you can sing. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, no, you can sing.
Yeah.
And it was just a slow process of stepping out and faith there. I mean, it really was, because I have performance anxiety. I have a crippling fear of what other people think of me. And so the fear of like standing up in front of a lot of people and messing up and putting myself out there like that was terrifying. I mean, even to this day, there are certain songs where I get so amped up with it because I really love the song, or I'm just nervous that I'm going to botch something, that if you really look at me, I'm shaking the entire time. Like, it's not, it's just all adrenaline and fear just running through me that I'm just shaking. But to kind of get back to the, I guess, root of like where my faith started, it was just a lot of different life events between losing friends, and just a lot of unknowns coming up quickly. I mean, it was in high school that I really got into my faith and actually learned who Jesus was. And it was just surrounding myself with the right people at the right times.
Well, and I'll say this too, like you've, and I think you're getting ready to dig into it, so please do, but like you've, and I'll, I'm just saying this to attest to it. Like, you've expressed to me over even just the short period of time we've been friends that you've lost a lot of really close people to you in a lot of really nasty ways. And I feel like that's had such an interesting effect on you. Again, being that you and I kind of both, I mean, I feel like you and I kind of think a lot of the same. You were expressing some of your feelings on certain things. And so like, I feel like I came from a totally different background, which you'll hear another time. but I came from a totally different background, yet we still somehow like found Jesus in that. And I think that's like the beauty of that in general, is like finding, even though you went through something totally different, somehow some weird fork in the road has forced us to the same understanding, has forced us to a friendship that we didn't probably even see. I mean, I, you know, you never really see any of it coming, but like, you know, something like this in general. So I think like, and I'm really excited to like dig into that with you, like in the future. Cause I think that that's something that could really be pivotal for somebody, who's experiencing a lot of like pain, especially with the things that I know you've experienced. So please dig into what you were going to say, cause I think you were getting ready to go there.
At that time, like, it was just the right timing. And then kind of to your point of like how everybody's faith journey is different, but it all leads to the same place. Like, I think God sets a lot of things in your way to direct you to where you are supposed to be. Everybody wants to, or I had a youth pastor that would say it too, that he was just like, everybody wants to give Jesus a nickname or give God a nickname, and it's coincidence. And he's like, I don't believe in that.
That's like, oh yeah,
things happen for a reason. Like, and it's always one of those things that you look back and like with the gift of hindsight, like everything's 2020, you look back and you go, oh, I get why you did that. Now, God, I understand. Like at the time, like you're fighting him every step of the way going, God, what are you doing? Like, this isn't it. This isn't what you want. Like, this isn't what I want.
Yeah.
This isn't good. And God just kind of tests our patience at that point. It's just like, just give me a minute. Just let me do what I'm doing. Let me show you what is on the other side of this. Just keep going.
Yeah.
And I think it's tough for a lot of people in the, like that sense to lose friends at young age. Like losing a bunch of my friends in high school to accidents, that it's one of those really tough things. I'm like, God, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like I still had like something of a faith at that point. Cause I had friends, like one of my best friends at the time, like his father was a pastor of another church, had attended that church for a little bit, didn't really find any kind of foothold there. Like it wasn't anything that, not anything that they did wrong, but just wasn't for me.
Mm.
And then life kept happening, things kept changing, and it just got to a point where, like, especially, like, I think that loss of that friend in high school was really the tipping point. And I just had a friend who just reached out, and he's just like, come to youth group. We have a lot of fun. And I'm like, I like fun. And really, like, the draw of it was, like, we played dodgeball beforehand. Right. There's foosball tables. There's pool tables. They talk about Jesus for a hot second, and then we go home.
How old were you about this time?
I'd be 16, so junior in high school.
Yeah.
And I went there on just to like, I could hang out with some of my friends for a little bit and play some dodgeball. And if I have to listen to somebody talk about Jesus for a minute, sweet. But then it turned into, well, I want to go back every Sunday. Mm. I'm learning some stuff. And then they're talking about this trip out to Florida. That's not like a missions trip. Like a lot of my friends and like my wife at the time, or she asked, she's like, you guys are going to Florida on missions trips? And I'm like, no, we're going on a camping trip. Like it was designed to pull us all away from just the kind of
monotony.
We'll call it monotony of life and the distractions and just be with God on a beach on the Gulf of Mexico or America. What do you want to say? Anyway, but it was there that like, I really felt Jesus in my life saying, you need to start following me.
Mm.
Like now's the time, and it will be burned into my memory forever. I went up to one of the, he wasn't a pastor. He's just a youth counselor, a guy that like volunteered with the youth group, and we were grabbing snacks or lunch or whatever. Like it was midday and he was mid cookie in the mouth. And I'm like, hey, I think I want to give my life to Jesus. And he just horks the whole thing down, a mouthful of food. He's just like, let's go.
I love that. I love that. I think that's really cool. Like, it's cool to see. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was like, that will forever be burned into my memory. Like, that was, like, the moment that, like, when I accepted Jesus into my life. And, I mean, the Gulf of Mexico will always hold a special place in my heart.
Mm.
Like, on that same trip, I also got baptized in the Gulf of Mexico, which was sweet. Because it was just like, I had the inward profession, I want the outward profession, I want everybody to see it. I'm like, I want, and then one of my best friends too, was there, he was with me. It was cool to have him there with me, because like, same kind of thing with you, like, he grew up in the church. He had similar life events and to me, but like, he grew up in the church, and I didn't necessarily grow up in the church. I didn't start going until I was, like, really going to church until I was about 16, 17.
Is this the same friend that invited you initially? Is this a different friend?
Different friend.
Gotcha. Just curious.
Yeah. I think he may have invited me a couple of times. I'm like, yeah. But then finally, like, that, like, second or third person.
I don't care,
like,
about what you say, seriously. But this guy.
It was the, we'll call it relentlessness of youth group to get me to go there. Yeah. It was one of those things of, like, the outsider looking in. I'm like, I see all my friends going to the youth group. They all seem happy and I'm not. What do they got?
Yeah. I think that's good though. Like, I think my next question would be like, do you feel like, I mean, this friend that initially invited you, that you feel like that was kind of the pinnacle moment where you were like, okay, I'm going to go. There's obviously something I need to you know, I need to experience, or, you know, whether it was just the, oh, I like playing games, I like hanging out, I like whatever, you know, like, do you still attest a lot of your faith to, like, that person, like, in some way?
Those few people.
Yeah.
Because it was a couple of them. So the one friend that was, like, he's my best friend, he was one of my groomsmen. Like, he asked me a couple of times, and I'm like, yeah, I'll think about it, like, maybe, because it was Sunday nights, and I'm like, yeah, I'm busy with, like, hockey or whatever else.
All right.
And then it just got to a point where it's like, I'm not actually busy on Sundays. And then once I actually got, like, my driver's license, I'm like, and a car, I'm like, I can drive myself. I don't have to rely on someone else to give me a ride. I'm like, I really have no good reasons not to go. Mm. And I remember talking with another friend. So, like, there was probably three or four different individuals that all regularly went to this youth group that were kind of, like, passively, like, hey, come to youth group. We have a lot of fun. Hey, come to youth group. We have a lot of fun. And one of them, I just remember asking, like, she's like, you should come. And I'm like, okay, like, not really knowing what it was. I'm like, what do you guys do? Do I have, like, thinking, like, church. I'm like, do I have to dress up for this? Do I gotta look nice? And she's like, no. It's like, we play dodgeball. You don't need to dress up. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because it was that preconceived notion with anything church-related. Yeah. You go on your Sunday best. I'm like,
yeah.
So I don't have to wear a suit or, like, a nice shirt and tie, nice polo or something like that. And she's like, you don't even need to do that on Sunday mornings. And I'm like, I don't.
And let's be clear too. I'll say this from experience of leading worship with you. Shay is the kind of guy that will intentionally wear the nice button up shirt with a tie and a vest over it. And definitely gave him crap a few times. I'm like, what are you wearing, dude? We're gonna have to get you some worship leader clothes, because this is not gonna work.
But I looked good.
You were rocking it. I just know for me, I couldn't pull it off. So to each their own. I'll stick with my raggedy worship leader clothes.
One of the drummers that we've got to this day will say, especially for, like, Christmas Eve services, he wears a vest. He goes, I wear a vest. I got a vest because you wore a vest. And I'm like,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm a trendsetter. And then this Christmas Eve, I definitely did not wear a vest.
Dang. You let him down.
I bought that vest in, like, high school, and I'm a little bit differently shaped now.
Yep, I'm definitely wildly differently shaped than I was. Yep, I feel that. Well, you said it earlier. You mentioned something about hockey, and I'm glad you did, because I wanted to bring that up. So, what's the? I know because obviously we're friends, and I've been to several games. But tell us a little bit about your background with hockey.
It's been, I guess, the other part of my personality. I think what people associate me with most, outside of, hopefully, Jesus, but maybe we're making that shift now. Anywho, we'll attribute that to not being brought up in the church my entire life, but I was definitely brought up in an ice rink my entire life. Started playing hockey when I was 4 and never looked back. It was, what would be, 4 days a week? All the way through, like, up till high school, just playing house league hockey growing up. It was Tuesday, Thursday practices, and then 2 games on Saturday, 2 games on Sunday. I am sorry, parents. monopolized every weekend from October to March. And then spring season hockey started, and it was at least, I think, just 1 day a weekend, but still monopolized a lot of their time and a lot of their money. So thank you so much, parents, but also sorry.
Well, and now you're playing in which myself and one of our other friends like to give him a hard time about this, but he's in another league, not because of what it's, well, I guess because of what it's called, but not because of what I think most people would assume the reasoning is you're in a league called Beer League. And, you know,
we drink beer.
Yeah, you drink beer on a regular basis, which is fine. I feel like there's just some, I guess I'm preemptively saying that because I feel like a lot of Christians have negative connotation to drinking, and I don't tend to have as much of an issue as maybe some do.
Hey,
so
Jesus turned water into wine.
He absolutely
Jesus
did.
He absolutely Jesus did. Respectfully.
He absolutely
responsibly,
did.
Not respectfully.
He definitely, and not only that, he did it at a wedding. So, and weddings were wild back then. So
for his mom too.
Exactly.
His mom wanted it.
Exactly. His mom asked him. You're right. So, but no, I say that to say like, we always like I said, a mutual friend of ours and I would always give him a hard time because he'd always, you guys would always talk about how, what was it? We would say like, it's just beer league, it, you know, it's whatever. Cause it's definitely not like a, you know, like a children's league or like a competitive league. It's just beer league. You guys just,
and I'm telling, if you want to look at it as a more PG way.
For sure. But yeah, I've definitely been to a couple of games, and there's one in particular that always stands out where I watched some guy get trashed, and I mean, I was just like, the only person there watching it. Cause again, it's not like it's any sort of like amazing thing. You guys are just like playing for the fun of it. And, it was just, yeah. So I think that's kind of just one of those things that's really neat. Like, I don't know. I mean, at least from like somebody, which again, we'll get into my story later, but like somebody who's from the South, it's not as common to see, like, you don't have, when we moved to Chicago, we just don't have hockey there. I mean, like, and Shay and I will both attest, we're big fans of Letterkenny. And so like, I at least know what the sport is, but that's probably about all I know.
I got you to a hockey game.
Yeah, no, definitely. You've been training me up well. So I feel like I'm finally getting to a point. I do enjoy watching it and experiencing it. I feel like it's more fun to experience it personally. But yeah, it's definitely it's definitely one of those things I would agree with you. It makes up a good portion of your personality when you can quote just about any episode of Letterkenny on a consistent basis. That's not just from watching the show. That's from being around it all the time.
And I could probably attribute my love for hockey to leading towards my relationship with my now wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause she also played hockey.
Yeah.
She was a collegiate hockey player.
I think, like, she's a better skater than you are. So just saying,
I would argue differently just because
I'm just being nice.
She was collegiate and I wasn't.
Well, I mean, there's that. So,
and you've got no knowledge to base that off of.
I mean, I saw her skate and she skated better than I thought you did. So,
because I'm a goalie and she's not.
Oh yeah, that's right. Different. Yeah, you're the grass fairy of the hockey players. That's what it is.
No.
I'm just kidding.
The rule is you put your best skating
Gotcha. See, again, this goes to show you my lack of knowledge as far as hockey. So
the amount of footwork that you need to maneuver with all that equipment on and maneuver efficiently is far and above what just a standard hockey player has.
I mean, I could agree. Definitely, again, with just even what little
goals
I do
don't
know.
Just stand there.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. Even just with the small amount that I've seen. I'm just giving you a hard time. I'm just messing with you. But I think that that's definitely, like I said, something that definitely makes up a good portion of who you are as a person. And I think it definitely, like, you know, I think the cool part about like getting to like experience that, because I feel like that's kind of where a lot of our friendship really took off, was when we kind of, you and I would kind of talk after like worship rehearsals, and I just mentioned like, hey, when's the game? When I can come see one? And we just kind of put like a group of people together to come watch you guys. And I remember just sitting there, I'm like, you know what, this is kind of fun. Like, I just kind of like coming and like watching my friend play. Like, it gave me something to do. Like, I just remember, I mean, I can go on about it that later. Yeah. I mean, but I enjoyed it. So I think that's like, again, I think that's, maybe that's something that in my mind was like, I always go back to those moments in my head of like, just getting to watch you enjoy, like getting to watch you play. Cause I knew that was something that you enjoyed, and like, you got to experience what, you know, I love because you are involved in that. And so I think it was really cool to see you like get to do that. It's something that I definitely like miss, being that we don't live in the Chicago area anymore, because I remember enjoying like just, I mean, you, I could see how passionate you were about that, and you were good at it. I mean, I certainly couldn't attempt to do anything I'd seen you do on the court. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. On the ice.
On the hockey court. Scoring the hole in ones.
So, well, I've got a list of questions here, so I'm just kind of going through them. I'm going to go to the next one I've got after that. So this one says, speaking of things people might not expect, what's something about you that would probably surprise most people?
I'm not too surprising.
I mean, I would disagree that.
What was something that you learned about me then that surprised you?
You know, I think that's a good question. Yeah, maybe you're not a surprise. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, fairly... I wouldn't have taken you for like much of a like Dragon Ball Z or like an Avatar like. Like, I wouldn't have taken
DBZ
you for,
definitely
like,
not.
Well, I get, you know what, I said that, and I think I spoke out of turn, but, like, I wouldn't have taken you for a big, like, Last Airbender fan. Like, that was something that I always thought was, like, because I'm not into that, and I know you and I connect on, like, on a thought level, and so when you said that, I was like, dude, maybe this guy and I aren't as close as I thought we were, because I'm not a huge, as huge a fan as most people are, maybe.
Maybe that could be what I would say is most surprising, that or people would find most surprising. About me is maybe my taste in music.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm not a edgy person. I won't say I'm vanilla, but I'm not edgy in that sense. And like, if you just saw me walking down the street, they'd be like, "Oh, there's another white dude, but he's on his way to a Slipknot concert."
But you know, you're right. Like, you fit into that. Yeah, you definitely fit into that culture, which I feel like a lot of those same people really like that same kind of like. TV, like television media as well, funny enough. So yeah, you're definitely your music span reaches even far outside of me, like Demon Hunter and a lot of those like even heavier like Christian bands. There's a few of them that I know that I think are even outside, like I mean I know I'm a big like O Sleeper fan, which I think you and I kind of are good on that one, like that one's one of my, like Son of the Morning is one of my favorite songs. Like I just it's so
you and me and one of my buddies could have a really lengthy conversation about one of their albums. Like, I forget what the title of it is now, but the whole thing is a story from start to finish.
Yes. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Stuff. Yeah. Yeah. No, I can't think of the name of it either, but their concept album. Yeah.
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 But I mean, that's kind of the general census is that most of my music taste is a little bit heavier.
Yeah. Name some bands.
Well, Slipknot, honestly, is one of my favorites, which is kind of controversial, maybe. People have opinions about those types of bands, but, like, and I'll go anywhere. I mean, between, like, growing up with a lot of the 80s hair metal and hard rock, like, AC/DC and Kiss were constants with my dad. Ted Nugent, I'm just trying to think of, like, all the albums that were in my parents' cars.
Right.
Like,
I feel that. That's the way I do, too.
I remember seeing Ted Nugent, AC/DC, Kiss, Collective Souls, one that was always in there.
Dude, love some good Collective Souls.
My mom was a big fan of Billy Joel, Billy Idol. And then, like, you stem out a little bit, even, like, she had Garth Brooks Double Live in her car, so, like, there's country in there.
Just a little bit of everything.
My wife was more, all over the place. And then, like, a lot of my friends' influences, like, road trips with me were always interesting. Yeah. Like if I had the aux cord, it would go anywhere from like Slipknot to a worship song to Garth Brooks to, for a hot second, there used to be Lady Gaga on my iPod. I'm not even joking.
Oh,
she went to Juilliard.
Well, no, I think you're right, though. Like, when you just aged, I was going to say, you just aged yourself a little bit because you said aux cord, which is unfortunate that ages us, because
Bluetooth connect into the car.
Yeah, yeah, we're definitely not Gen Z, for sure. So, okay, last question. And this is just to be, like, kind of silly at the end of this, but also to maybe get some perspective on, like, your personality. If you could sit down and have coffee with one biblical figure other than Jesus, because that's the obvious answer. Pick one.
Maybe it's just my lack of memory of, like, I'm not a Bible passage memorizer. I'm terrible at it. So I'm just like, oh, who are these Bible figures? I'm like, I don't know anybody's names. And that's even true for in person. Like, I will forget your name immediately when I meet you for the first time. You'd be like, oh, hey, I'm Steve. All right, Steve, nice to meet you. We'll split ways. I'm like, Who was I just talking to? What was his name?
I'll make a little inside joke here, but oh yeah, that's Colin. That's who that was. That's a little personal inside joke. was that you or was that that was one of our mutual. It's actually a mutual friend I mentioned earlier. That's an inside joke for those.
Hey Colin, who's Colin?
if you used to be on the worship team with Shay and I, you'll get that joke outside of the podcast itself. So, but yeah, anyway, Bible character.
Maybe it's just because at the forefront of my mind, it's like people like Judas or just like any of the disciples, maybe even like I'd say it's at the forefront of my mind just because my wife and I are watching The Chosen and we're at the episode where Judas first joins them. And then it's also a sermon series that we just started at our church to talk about Judas and dig into his life and story a little bit more. And honestly, I think that I might even still hold on to it just because it's very fascinating to like think about like watching The Chosen. And I think you've said it numerous times that like it's very cool to watch The Chosen and kind of get like more of a visual of the stories that are in the Bible.
Yeah.
To think about like how Jesus would have looked, even in the sense of like Judas comes up to him and says, I want to join your mission. Mm. And both my wife and I like looked at each other afterwards because you could see it on his face. Yeah. And I think that's what they're trying to convey of like, he knows already.
Yeah.
He already knows. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you want to join?
Yeah.
Why? Why do you want to join us?
Yeah.
And just like to think about like all, and I'm sure we'll dig more into it in church, but like the things that led him to make the choices that he did. And I'm, like, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's crazy to think about. Or just like, again, any of the disciples that got to be with Jesus through it all and like see it. And then like the brothers like bickering with each other. I love watching The Chosen just because it just puts a human aspect to these characters that we've read about and learned about for years.
Yeah.
That like, you just have this image in your head of like who they might actually be. But then it's like, you watch this and you go, oh wait, they're brothers. They probably hated each other at times. Like,
right. Yeah. No,
I think,
go ahead. Sorry.
No, I think like any of those would just be awesome. No. Kind of.
I think you make a good point. Like even specifically with Judas, like I feel like a lot of people would have those, like a lot of why questions, like, just in everything that he did, you know, from the very start of it. Like, I think it's definitely an interesting thought process. Like, I don't know that a lot of people would choose that one, but like, you know, thinking about it now, I'm like, yeah, I feel like I'd have more questions for him than somebody like, you know, David, for example. Like, I can agree with that. I think it's an interesting perspective. Cause I don't, like I said, I don't know if I would have, that would have been my first choice, but thinking about it now, it might be. So yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, like I said, we just wanted to give you kind of a little insight into who we are. And so this is Shay's interview. There is also another one that you can listen to that is specifically my interview. So we're hoping to get this thing up and rolling, and I'm really excited to be able to do this with you, man. Like, I know I've said it a few times, but like, I'm really excited to be able to go on this journey with you, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think there's a lot of really good conversation that we can have. You said it before we started, like, we're not experts on anything. In fact, I want you to, I think you said it well, and you may not say it the same way, but like, say something about that real quickly. Like you like kind of that idea that you mentioned.
It was my wife's doing, and that she, like, I was talking to her about, what Christian and I are planning on doing, like with this podcast. And she's like, well, why are you guys the one that are talking about it? Either you are experts. And we're like, yeah. So,
yeah.
But that's really, like, that's what we're after. I mean, like, we're not trying to be experts. We're not trying to state that we have all the answers, that we understand it. We're just two young fathers trying to fumble our way through life and find Jesus in the mix of it.
Yeah.
And hopefully through this, like, even though this was, like, a really short interview and, like, synopsis of who I am as a person, like, we'll learn more. You guys can learn more about who both Christian and I are through these podcasts, and then we'll learn more about ourselves and learn about Jesus along the way too.
Absolutely.
It's just all about digging into and figuring out the intricacies of life.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what the Everything in Between podcasts, or what we want it to be about, is that exactly. So no, we'll leave it on that, because I think that's really good. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope to see you when we finally do release the first few episodes, and be on the lookout for those. We appreciate you guys listening in, and we'll see you next time.